Welcome to the Endurance Athlete. I'm Dan Schamberg, and with me again, my co-host Greg Hawkins. And Greg,
hey, Daniel.
This is the podcast that you've been waiting for. This is going to be a really fun episode, just from the standpoint of puns alone.
Or innuendo.
Exactly. So I'm going to start it off. Today, we are going to have an awesome episode for you to enjoy. Last year in 2020, in the fall of 2020, I did a race called Run with the Burros in Inyo Kern, California, and it's exactly what it sounds like. I ran with a burro, an ass. It was an ass running with an ass, or an ass running with a donkey, however you want to describe it. And there's another race taking place here in April of 2022. They had one in 2021. I thought it'd be a great idea to bring on two people who could tell us all about burro racing. I've got with us Karen Usko and John Auburn. Karen, John, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
There's so many places we could get started. Greg, I figured let's let you start. What's your first question off the bat?
Like, why, how, when, where did this idea come from? Yeah, let's just start with that. Like, just the first one. Like,
it all goes back to mining, you know, out here in the deserts of California, Colorado, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, folks came from Mexico or came out here during the gold rush to find gold and packed all their gear on a burro and took them out in the desert. And when they were done, they just turned them loose. You know, you had cars and trucks and more useful ways to get around. But the histories stuck around. Those mining camps would have celebrations and festivals for 4th of July or other locations and have some kind of burro race. We don't know what the old ones were. Locally, I can find them going back to the 1890s. The modern format that we use is the Colorado one. It started in 1949. So it's been running 70 some years. Where you pack your gear on a burro, run with a burro, and just enjoy your time out there.
Well, officially you race.
Yes.
Officially you're racing. And if the donkey wants to race, you're racing. You know, if the donkey doesn't want to race, you might not.
I can attest to the part about the donkey not wanting to race.
My first NF was with my donkey, and it was very, very frustrating and humbling. I signed up for 15 miles in Fairplay, so we drove for 15 hours to Fairplay, got ready for the race, signed up for the 15 miles, started, and after 2 miles, my donkey said, "You signed up, I didn't," and that was it. It was
no one thought that you're racing with the animal that epitomizes stubbornness.
Yeah, well, we don't like to say that they're stubborn. But deep inside, we all have days we don't understand them, and it's fair to call them stubborn. They're very smart, and they will not get themselves or their herd in danger. So we call them smart, but yeah, it's just definitions. But that was my humbling experience.
Yeah, we say there's donkey. Good days, bad days, and donkey days.
Let's go back quickly to kind of the history. In doing some research, when I first was doing training for the burro run, and I didn't really know how to train for it other than watching some YouTube videos, I was looking up a history, and there are basically like two theories that I could find that how these started. One is like the more romantic version of two miners strike gold and want to have the claim. And so basically they pack their stuff up and like the first one to rate, they ran with their donkey back to the town to stake their claim. Like the first one back won. And that's kind of how it started, like the short version. And then the other version I heard was a newspaper was trying to draw attention to a town and they came up with an idea, you know, let's have a race, but let's race with donkeys. You know, have you guys heard that? Or, you know, what do you think is the true origin?
We've heard both, and I think there's some element of each, you know.
We like the first one better, obviously. It sounds just like
Yeah, I think they stuck in, you know, a bets in bars and all kinds of other ideas. But, you know, you can imagine racing to get your gold claim. There's a little race up in Paradise, California, where they reenact finding a 53-pound gold nugget and carry it back to town. 1850, someone found a 53-pound gold nugget, and they reenact that. And everybody puts a...
But the race is only 3 miles yeah, long.
It's not the same as this long format.
You can negotiate for 3 miles, but you should not do that for 30 miles or 10 miles, you know?
So you got to see the tough version. I think you did the full marathon.
I did the full marathon. I consider it an ultra marathon. If I'm running for 7 hours, it's an ultra marathon, as far as I'm concerned.
Donkey miles count double.
Oh, I don't perfect.
Know that.
Donkey miles count double.
They count double. I mean, they have 4 feet and treat you like you have to carry them because they can't possibly go faster, or they take off and you get sore or trip.
And when they, I can attest, when they take off, they literally haul ass. Like,
yes,
you are surprised how fast they can go when they really want to move.
Oh, yeah. And you're not running with your normal stride or the use of your arms to impulse yourself. You're just swinging your arm, swinging a lead rope, hanging on to a donkey, and your legs just kind of carry you. But it's a completely different story than running. You know, just the fact that you're holding the lead rope makes you already uneven, and I don't know. It's
yeah, no, for sure. You know, when I first got to the Run with the Burros race, I'll talk about this for a second, then we can move on. And the name escapes me of.
Amber
Wan. Yes. Thank you. Amber Wan. She brought the burros from, was it Colorado?
Yes.
And you can find out more about Amber in, I think the book called Running with Sherman, I believe,
yes. Yes.
Which is a book about burro racing to some extent. And when I got there to the day before the race, I wanted to do a little bit of a run with Smokey, and Smokey was the name of my burro. And Amber, when I got there, she says, okay, yeah, we'll get everything on and you can take Smokey for a ride. Well, just to let you know, Smokey will only run if Alice runs. And Alice is basically Smokey's girlfriend. So I was paired with a donkey that had a girlfriend that would only follow her around. And Amber got Alice, somebody run with Alice, I think the guy who ended up winning the race, I forget his name. And he basically was taking me on a fun run because he knew he was going to try to show me how hard it was. And he ran up about 100 yards up the trail. And then we said, okay, that's it. And I go, oh, this is fun. You know, I can trot. He turns around and then he takes off running downhill with Alice. And at that point, Smokey, my donkey, says, okay, we're running. And not only were we running, he was sprinting faster than I could possibly run. And I have a lead on them and I have it about maybe 5 or 6 feet. And he's going faster and faster, and I'm letting out the rope longer and longer and longer. Now I'm holding the end of this rope. The donkey's 15 feet in front of me, and all I'm doing is trying not to die.
And running downhill in the desert.
Downhill in the desert. So that was my first 5-minute experience with the donkey.
Slow them down once they go downhill ahead of you. That's just not happening. It's a 300-pound animal that will, for sure, not slow down for you. It's just like, my buddy is going, I am going, and you are coming with me. You know? And I mean, you were lucky actually up to a point, considering that our footing on our race is very, very kind. The races in Colorado are just rocks.
It's the Rocky Mountains.
It's the Rocky Mountains, and they need. And when those things, when you're on a downhill with those animals, you can barely walk those hills, those mountains. And you see them just zooming by, you know, but our footing is pretty good at our race, I think. It helps.
So what are the rules? What are the rules? Like, can you ride the donkey?
Well, there's basic rules. You have a 15 foot lead rope, and you hold your donkey by the lead rope, and you cannot let go of your donkey. We say you don't let go of your ass, or you get either disqualified unless you pick your donkey and bring it back to where you lost the lead, which the donkeys, and you learned that at the race, the donkeys are herd animals. They don't want to go back to where nobody is. They want to go continue with everybody. So it's close to impossible to get your donkey back. So it's most likely a disqualification. So that's the first rule. The second rule is you are not allowed to ride the animal. You can carry the animal. And actually, that's a rule. You can carry the animal.
You can push, pull, push, drag.
There's no abuse and no riding the animal.
Has anyone ever carried the animal?
Probably not, but it's in the rules.
Now, I have a question about donkeys.
I just have this picture of like a prospector with a donkey over his shoulders. It was like, he's going to make it. And if you had a 53-pound gold nugget, and I just looked this up on metalvalue.com, it would be worth $1.37 million, $1.38 million right now. So that's a pretty good sized gold nugget. I would carry a donkey. I'd figure it out.
I'm sure you pack the nugget. You don't need the donkey.
Maybe that's the rules. You had to come back with the donkey, or you don't get to keep the nugget. So those are the only rules. You can't. You have to be with your donkey. You can't drop the lead, and you can't ride it. But you can coerce the donkey as much as possible without beating it.
Yeah, yes. In kind ways.
In kind ways, of course.
No abuse.
We all have words we call our animals when they don't want to go. You know, you have all the languages you can, as long as you don't smack the animal too hard. And we swing the lead rope behind their butts. And every now and then, of course, they get a little, how do you call it? A little smack on the butt with the lead rope. But most of the times, every three smacks bounce back in your face. So if you want to abuse a donkey, it will backfire basically immediately.
Literally backfire. I'm sure that. Oh my gosh, I have so many questions.
I've got two before I forget them. We're not questions. It made me think of two more parts of the race within the first couple miles. This is all within the first couple miles of this whole race when the donkeys are fresh and excited. One, within the first 2 miles, somebody behind us lost their donkey. And I didn't know that until it came running right by me. And that is the only time in the 26 miles that Smokey said, "Oh, we're running," without Alice. And this donkey flew by me at probably 15 miles an hour, or I don't know how fast they go, but fast. And this was another time Smokey just took off. And again, I'm leading, I'm at the full extent of my rope, and I'm just running with my arm shaking, trying not to be pulled over or to let go, because I didn't want to have to go back. And fortunately, it came right to the bottom of a hill and flattened up and started to incline. And Smokey slowed down, and I was able to regain control without letting go. But I don't ever know what happened to that runner. But
well, that was clearly, I mean, we changed that part of the course. We made
no the 10 miler.
Yeah, no downhill at the start. We made it all uphill. And we changed the course from the 10 miler to, actually, we changed the whole course a little bit, or the order of the course. And so that wouldn't happen again, because we had a lot of people losing their donkeys in the first 2 miles. And like we said, they're herding animals, and you don't need to be the fastest. You just need to be faster than the slowest. You know, if you're a donkey and there's a mountain lion chasing the herd, you just need to be faster than the slowest, right? So they would all take off. If one is going and one is approaching you from behind, Smokey must have thought, "Oh gosh, there's the last one coming. I need to be faster." So, I imagine that's what happened to the donkeys when they took off like that. But we changed that part of the course so that wouldn't happen. The second race, we didn't have disqualifications.
Oh, good. Are there any other like random rules? Can you use your donkey to like store all your stuff for the run?
Back, it's called pack burrow racing. So they're supposed to have a pack saddle and carry a pick, pan, and shovel. And you can put your own gear on the donkey as well. You know, food, water, all those things. Although it's actually best to have a hydration vest or bottle that you can access easier. But you can keep a rain jacket or whatever else you need in the pack.
So is it like self-supported, or are there aid stations, donkey stations?
Our race has runners without donkeys.
So we have aid stations.
We have aid stations for our runners. Thing is that because most of the donkeys at our race come from Arizona and Colorado, and not very many from California yet. And we added runners to incorporate them and show them pack rule racing and maybe get them hooked on the sport. You know,
Boris did it, Greg.
Mm.
He ran it. Yeah, speaking of the aid stations.
So he was your ass.
Yeah, well, he ran separately. I didn't see him very much. Speaking of aid stations, I didn't really get to experience them because when I wanted to stop at the aid station, Smokey just kept running. So here I am. He's walking, and I'm trying to grab something from the aid station real quick as it's going. And so I carried most of my food.
Your momentum. Just keep going. Just, with your donkey.
You better don't get hungry.
But you did experience our last aid station with the full-on bar and beer and...
Yes, so there was one aid station with a group of guys that had beer there, and you come back to the aid station towards the end, and I think on the way up, they had beer. I'm like, well, yes, I think I'm gonna have a little sip of beer. I just had a little sip, and so it was fun. So it was a really fun aid station. On the way back, I think I was just too busy trying to finish the race. I kept going because it took me 7 hours to run. I would say run. I ran for a couple miles, but walk 26 miles. So 7 hours to walk 26 miles. And I can tell you, as soon as we hit the hills, which most of the course is uphill, I feel like Smokey didn't want to walk or run. It was just walking. I mean, I almost had to get behind him and push, but I didn't because Alice, I saw, jumped up and kicked her runner like twice in the leg. And I was like, oh, okay, so don't stand behind your donkey. That's the I learned that quickly.
Yeah, they give pretty clear signals, but
they warn you.
You need some experience to notice.
You need to know what the warning is. It's just they have their techniques to get rid of you.
So how does one like start? How did you come across this, or how did you bring this to California?
Well, it started a few years ago. We have a dear friend. He's an ultra runner. He's in his 80s. I don't know if you know Bill Dickey. Yeah, it doesn't matter. He used to run the Leadville 100, and to acclimate to the elevation, he would get there 2 weeks before the race. And that's when the pack burro races are. So he would go top of Mosquito Pass, 13,000 feet, with his truck, and have a case of beer and watch the donkeys go around the sign. So it starts in Fairplay or in Leadville, and it goes up to Mosquito Pass, 13,000 feet, go around the sign and goes back down. So he was standing there watching it. And when he learned that we had a mules and horses and we would do a lot of equine sports, he said, you need to get a donkey. And first thing I said is, no, I don't. And he insisted and was just very persistent with his story that we needed to see a donkey and get a donkey and run with the donkeys. And he started sending us newspapers with the results of the Leadville race. And we have here in Ridgecrest the BLM facility where they gather donkeys from the desert and horses too and give them out for adoption. And we have a friend, she was co-race director for the man versus horse race here in Yokern, on basically the same course. And she started working for them and said, you need a donkey. So there we were being attacked from both sides, from the running side and from the donkey side, that we needed a donkey.
So what is your background quickly in running? Like, you know, are you an ultra runner, trail runner, just a nonchalant runner? Like what is...
Well, right now I am personally a retired runner. I did a few ultra runs,
trail runs and hash runs and ultra marathons and
endurance rides.
Endurance rides. We both have a history with horses and mules.
But yeah, it started all actually with hash runs. You know, you do.
You mentioned this before. We were talking before we started. What is a hash run?
Oh, you need to do that. It's a running club with a drinking problem or a drinking.
It's a drinking club with a running problem.
Yeah, they haven't defined it completely, I think. There are some who mean it with the running, but it's mostly drinking.
Yes. So like the beer mile that I do with.
No, but it's like, no, somebody just drags a keg, you know, 5 miles out in the woods and then you run to it and then you got to finish it and then you get to run back.
Oh, this sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Why have you never mentioned this, Greg?
Look up Hash House Terriers.
Okay.
It started in Malaysia a bunch of years ago by the British military and, you know, the Brits.
Okay. Now, so you've got two friends of yours on both sides, you know, are running and telling you that you guys need to get a donkey.
Yes. So endurance
athletes who are now, people are telling you need to get a donkey. So what happened next?
Well, we should have known by then that the ultra runner did not have donkeys and the donkey person wasn't a runner. So they both didn't know what they were getting us into. But when the BLM girl says, you know, there's a donkey they just gathered in Red Rock, Nevada, and he will definitely be a good runner. He's gorgeous and he's just so beautiful. And BLM says he's going to be a runner and you need to adopt him. And a completely wild donkey.
You go pay $125.
We adopted the animal, got it home. And so what do we do with it? I mean, we know equines, but we had never trained or even less gentle a wild animal. And we learned eventually. And we
now you get train her. A lot of them.
Now we train BLM donkeys too. And that's how we started doing California breakfast breeders later. But we got this wild donkey and started training him. And then we got another one and well, John decided he wanted to do the packer race in Leadville and in Fairplay, which are basically the most important ones of the whole season in Colorado. So he contacted Amber One in Colorado and rented out a burro for Fairplay and a burro for Leadville and ran the races with two rentals. What was it, Beethoven and Einstein.
Actually, my first race was the only one where I won any prize money.
He even got prize money.
You get in the Colorado races, they have a tradition of paying out cash prizes. In some cases, it used to be an ounce of gold to the winner. And
no ounces more. Yeah.
Yeah. But some of the prizes are still $1,300, that sort of thing for first place. And they gradually go down. I don't remember if I got sixth or seventh or something, but it was enough to pay for my entry fee.
Yes. So
you're a professional burro racer.
Yeah, won it once and only.
Yeah.
Good days, bad days, donkey days. You know, if you get a good day with your donkey, you can win.
So is that just the kind of do the winners, are there like perennial winners that have like the donkey that they know they can control, or is it just random? You show up and you get a random donkey?
No, you want a donkey you know and relate to. So most of the people who do well have their own donkey or race with the same donkey someone else owns.
I feel like I could relate to a donkey.
Yes.
It's easy. They're very good people.
Much better than the people I normally hang out with, I'm sure.
And there's a whole triple crown. So they have a set of three races in Colorado. And if you win, just like in the horse races, if you win all three races, you get the triple crown. And they actually do a male finisher and a female triple crown winner. And the same people tend to be contenders for that every year. It's not one every year, obviously.
Well, there's Marvin.
Yeah, that's a new one.
He is fairly new to pack burro racing. And he's a lead man. I don't know if you're familiar with that race. You need to look it up. Lead man.
Okay.
And
is that the Leadville 100?
No, actually,
it's the Leadville 100, the Leadville Bike Series. It's a whole set of races that all combine. Okay. But the race in Leadville is the burro race, And so Marvin ended up getting his own miniature donkey. You know, donkeys come in different sizes. I'm sure you saw those big mammoths that are, you know, 5 feet tall.
Size of horses, almost.
Size of horses, all the way down to little miniature ones the size of a golden retriever.
Yeah, we heard that when he got a Buttercup, that's the name of the Jenny he runs with. He was told minis can't run the long courses. And if they can run, they will never win. And Marvin is a very, very strong runner. And he proved them all wrong because Buttercup
he's the one that's carrying the donkey.
Almost.
Yes.
But he's tiny as well.
They're both very fast. And I mean, if nothing is written before a race, and everybody thought a mini cannot run fast, cannot win, and even less the long distances. And Buttercup keeps winning races every race.
Yeah, so 2 years in a row, he won the Triple Crown.
Yeah, and of course, he ran our race and he won it. And it's just amazing to see those because
my theory is any donkey can run 30 miles an hour.
Yes.
It's really a matter of will.
Yes. Does he want to? That's a different
story. And how fast can that person keep up? You look at some of the old
30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, they take off when they need it. They take off. We have.
Yeah, but a human can't run that fast.
No. Well, you know, some people are so intrepid at these races. At the start of the race, they put the lead rope around their hip. And basically let the donkey pull them up the mountain.
Faster than they could run.
You barely see.
That's just using your resources.
Exactly. Yeah. But who has the guts to do it? Honestly, I don't.
There's a few who even clip or buckle.
To the donkey. It's supposed to come off easily in their defense. But
it's like a quicker release.
Yes. But yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't trust it.
So now you guys, you know, were convinced to get a donkey. What did you name your first donkey, this wild ass?
Robbie. You want to hear the story about his name?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, of course.
Robbie is a beautiful pink donkey. Pink, you call the donkeys that are this kind of tan rosy color that blends in the desert perfectly. He was a young one, and his name was supposed to be Luis Miguel. You know, Donkey's Bray, and Luis Miguel is a Mexican singer. So we wanted to call him Luis Miguel, and then we have a friend called Robbie. And when he met the donkey, he says, "Oh my God, he's so cute and so sweet. You should call him Robbie." And I said, "Well, you did it to yourself. The baby is now Robbie Miguel. We all call him Robbie." He now runs with a girl who lives in Arizona, but races in Colorado all summer.
So he's done all the burro races the past two seasons.
Yeah, she came to meet him one day. She needed a race for last year's, was it Superior?
Superior Arizona,
2 years ago. 2 years ago, yeah. And she wanted to meet the donkey she would run with. So she came from Phoenix, drove 10 hours, or how long it takes, and stayed for 4 days here meeting Robbie, running with him and bonding with him. And it was kind of love at first sight. And she ran with him and with John. And eventually she wanted to run with him again and over. And before our race in April, 3 years ago, when COVID hit, I said, "You know, you're coming to pick up a donkey from us that we have just gentled. Why don't you take Robbie and train with him for the race in April?" This was February. So she took Robbie to Arizona,
and then
ran
COVID
with him,
happened.
And COVID happened, and we had to cancel. But Robbie was in Arizona, and we were in California. So we said, "Just keep him until October. You know, we won't go pick him up if you want to run with him in October when we had rescheduled our event." So she kept him all year. And then we said, "You know, he's in good hands with you. You love him. Keep him. But the only condition is if you don't want him or can't have him anymore, we want him back." You know, don't we home him elsewhere? It's just one of our conditions. Whoever adopts an animal from us, we get first choice to get them back. And then we rehome or retrain or evaluate, whatever that's.
What kind of facilities do you need to home a donkey or house a donkey?
Well, actually, she boards him at a friend who has a horse facility. And then in the summer, they've got
a big pen in Colorado.
Place in Colorado.
And we have, we live on 2.5 acres and we're zoned limited agricultural, which means we can have 10 equines or
horses, donkeys,
mules, zebras, whatever we want, 10 of them on our property.
I feel like a zebra race would be a much different feel.
You bet. We don't mess with those.
Yeah, but they're cheaper than a dog. It costs about $2 a day to feed and
a donkey, yeah,
and keep their feet trimmed and general health care.
Well, donkeys are fairly healthy and strong, especially the wild ones. You know, natural selection is still our best breeder. And we have all of our animals are all our donkeys, but one are BLM donkeys, and we have a mini. Obviously, we have a mini. Everybody needs a mini.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter the size of the donkey. Like, as long as it's a donkey, you can run with it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Now, what about mules?
Well, that was my first question, because we have a mule, actually. And when we learned about pack bull racing, I said, I should do this with Juana. Juana is my mule. And I asked the Western Pack Bull Association, I said, so what's the thing? Can I participate with my mule? And they said, no, you can't. It's a donkey. It's a pack mule race. So I felt like, oh my gosh, he yelled at me. Now that we have done the donkey events and we train donkeys, we understand the difference. And we understand.
Mule is too easy.
Yeah, mules are a lot easier to. You once train a mule, especially the bred ones, these animals that we have are wild, or we're wild. So their reactions are different than a mule that has bred and safe all her life. So it's a different challenge to run with a mule or run with a horse or run with a donkey. That's just a different league.
So it's a completely different sport than almost with a different animal. Now, so tell me about, and I thought the name is kind of really creative, the California breakfast burritos.
Well,
if you notice there, Crefers burritos. So you're putting, you know, burro into burritos. They were little. I just found out that's what a burrito meant, was a little donkey.
Yes, you know, that's after, what it
is. I never knew that.
Well, thing is that we take our animals out in the desert or in the mountains and just go day trip with them, do picnic with friends.
Take friends.
And of course, people ask. And when they started asking us, what's the deal with you guys? Oh, yeah, we'll go out with the donkeys and then we have breakfast. And we go out with the donkeys, we run with the donkeys and eat the loser, which obviously is just a joke. But then we started saying, yeah, well, these are the California breakfast burritos, and we liked it. So that's how it all started. We just playing with names. And when the event got serious, when we decided to organize the Run with the Burros, we decided also that we wanted to do charity with our event. You know, we love volunteering and we love setting up little events and little things.
Little fat ass fun runs.
Yeah, just to connect people with the donkeys. And we decided that would be a thing that we could do. And we decided to name it California Breakfast Burritos. And one day, John just filed paperwork to become a 501c3, and now we are a charity organization dedicated to connecting humans and donkeys and welfare of donkeys and just anything around exposing people to the animals and the animals to people and educating, especially because they're very misunderstood animals, and you probably realize that at the race.
Yeah,
that they are very nice animals.
Yeah,
I do have to say, the first time this came up I think it was during COVID and nothing was going on, obviously. And somebody sent me a link of something about a run with the Burros. And my first thought was, I have no idea what this is, but I have to do this. You know, as a trail runner and ultra runner, yes, I love ultra running more. I like doing things that are just sound fun or different or challenging. And it sounded like all of that.
Which it is.
And so then I signed up and I thought my initial intention wasn't to run with the Burro. I just wanted, we were just going to go and do the race as runners just to experience it. And I said, you know what, let me just go ahead and put my name in the hat, you know, for running with the Burro. So I sent Amber a message and said, hey, I'm doing the run with the Burros race in California. And I was going to say no when they got back to me. It had been a couple weeks. And then she sent me an email. Said, oh, great. We have a Burro for you. His name is Smokey. And as soon as I heard the name, I was like, crap, I have to run this race because I'm from the University of Tennessee and our mascot is Smokey. And to pass up an opportunity to run with the donkey named Smokey.
That's, you know, how you race with you.
Yeah.
It's a trick. It's a trick.
Yes. So you've that's why I said, all right, fine, I'll do this. I'll run this race with Smokey. And let me tell you, I had an amazing time. It was one of the most difficult things I've ever done because walking for 7 hours uphill on a technical train doesn't sound that hard, especially if you're an ultra runner. But walking 26 miles in 7 hours with a donkey that you're constantly yelling, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
It is exhausting.
When I go out with our donkeys and I go hop, hop, and I swing my arms, I feel like the military trains you for that because I have seen military marching with the whole gear singing. And that's what you're basically doing. You're using your lungs to sing, not to run. And you're using your lungs to convince the donkey to go. And you're on.
Yeah, you should just be out there calling cadence for the donkey. And then you would have definitely won, Dan.
I don't know if there's anything I could. Actually, here's Amber told me, all right, Dan, you're running with Smokey, but your job is not to motivate Smokey. Your job is to motivate Alice.
Yep,
and she said, if Alice moves, Smokey will move. And I'm like, okay, all right, whatever. And turns out I spent most of my time yelling, yup, Alice, move Alice. So I was like getting as close as I was to Alice, and then Smokey was stopping. I'd have to pull him around. He'd catch up, and I'd yell for Alice. So, I mean, it was just 7 hours of figuring out how to motivate.
How did Alice's runner feel about that?
He was fine. He didn't have to do very much.
He probably didn't even realize that you were doing jumping jacks behind him.
Yeah. No, I ran more than 26 miles because I would have to run up towards Alice and then go back, pull Smokey, then run back up. So I'm going back and forth.
You should sign up again.
And yeah. Actually, my wife are considering doing that, but I'd have to give her one of the little mini donkeys. My wife and your wife, Greg, I think, talked about doing it.
Well, you're in California, aren't you?
My wife just wanted to do the donkey run?
I think so.
For 26 miles?
No, just the 10 miler.
Was this at Oktoberfest?
There was drinking involved when we discussed this.
How much have you given her to drink?
Just enough. But I do have to say that it was an extremely challenging event. And I remember after the event, I could barely talk because my voice was so hoarse. And we got in the car and I've got three young kids and they were putting kids music on. And there was a song that came on, like the first song we got in the car on the way back, called The Wonky Donkey. And if you don't have children, look this song up, The Wonky Donkey. But it's immediately I was like, I've never had this visceral reaction to a song. And I was like, turn that off. You have to turn this off. And I was not joking. I was exhausted. I was just covered in dirt and sweat. And the song came on. I was like, I am not in the mood for a song about a donkey right now.
You know that you can just come visit and go and walk with donkeys with us, excuse me, and get a 101 donkey handling course or just donkey time. You know, you learn a lot about that just walking.
I may take you upon that in about 4 weeks, I'm going to be driving through in Yukon and Ridgecrest on my way up to Tahoe with a friend of mine. And maybe I could stop by for an hour and introduce him to some donkey.
Definitely. We have eight.
Yeah, we have eight donkeys.
We have eight donkeys right now.
So. All right. We'll set that up. But we've talked about the history of burro racing, you know, so it's big in Colorado, and I think Arizona and now California are the three places where races go on. I think the lead organization, you mentioned it, is the Western Pack Burro Association.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are the rules we follow. Mm-hmm. It's all basically standardized. Of course, as a race director, you can do whatever you want, but then you don't get their support.
Got it.
Like you would like to. So following their rules, and it makes it easier. The rules are there. Why should we invent the wheel again? You know?
So then you're convinced to get a donkey, Robbie, and it's just your love for donkeys and burros and zebras has expanded, and you started the California Breakfast Burritos charity. And so now you've also started the Run with the Burros race.
That 2 years ago.
Yeah.
When was the first race?
That was October last year. It was
supposed to be April last year.
Well, the thing is that we have this friend who got us Robbie from BLM. Her husband used to race direct. I don't know if you're familiar with the man versus horse races.
I've heard of the one in Arizona.
Good. We had one in Ridgecrest, in Yokern, which was really the same course. We changed it a little bit and made it a little not easier. But he never got to run his event. You know, as a race director, you don't do that. So she calls me as we were driving to Arizona to a race. She calls me and says, Karen, how about we revive the man versus horse, but no horses. That's just too much. And I said, let's do donkeys. And she says, no, I don't do donkeys. We can't put donkeys in that race. I said, why not? We take care of the donkey part and you do the human part. And let's just do that. And she says, oh, okay. If you take care of the donkeys, we'll do it. And of course, 10 hours drive, I had enough time to think about it and invent a lot of things and do and organize. And when we came home, you have 6 months ahead of your event, before your event, to get the permits or apply for the permits from BLM. So we were exactly in time to do the event in October, like the man versus horse used to be. Mm-hmm. So we rushed and started to getting our permits, and BLM said yes. And then our friend says, you know what? I don't think I want to do this anymore. Oh, there I was with the idea. John was still working. Now he's retired. It's a lot easier. And I was just like, oh gosh, what do I do? Now I'm stuck with this race. I have the permits. We already had Ultra sign up. And I said, would you help me? And he says, as much as I can. So that's how it happened. And luckily, we had to reschedule because we had 6 months more to make a better event. And now we really got it. I think we got it pretty decent. And for our first year, and we had 106 entries or something like that, which is overwhelming when you're doing that the first time.
Yeah, no. So October last year in 2020 was the first race.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I did not realize that, because that's the one I did. And
yes.
It was a great time. I had lots of fun. I mean, I knew nothing, so I my expectations were minimal.
I think even the disqualified runners, which we had a bunch, they were happy with the event and they came back, which tells us maybe we did something right. And we still, I think, improved a lot in the second year, which was this year. And we had 152 at the start or something like that. We even asked BLM for an extension of the participants because we had said 125, and eventually we had 150 and 160 and 70. And it actually was like, oh, we need to stop. This is too much.
I think my favorite thing about the race was that I finished top five, but I think there's only maybe eight burros doing the whole 26 milers, but I'll still take a top five.
You know, honestly, and considering that burro donkey miles count double, I would be very, very proud if I were you. Yeah. And like I said, those runners who were ahead of you with the donkeys, they are very experienced pack burro runners. So I think you're great.
It was a nose. finish line. I've got some video of it, and there's pictures of me dragging Smokey right at the finish line, because Smokey and Alice, that was the only time I was trying to get Smokey in front of Alice, was right at that finish line. So there's a photo of me walking backwards, pulling the rope nice and taut, and I think I came in front of Alice by a nose, but it was a fun event. So now you've done it twice. So tell us, you know, finish up about the, with the 2022 version of the race.
Well, I think we figured out the course pretty well at our event this year. So the course is staying.
We added a 17 mile.
Oh yeah. We added a 17 and a half mile, which you remember that it was a 10 mile loop and the 16 mile loop. And you had to come down after the 10 miler and turn around at the start. We changed
all that. Which Smokey did not like to do.
No, nobody did.
It a little easier to do. You don't go.
You don't come down all the way to the start anymore. So, and we split you at the, during the first mile, which is a little tricky, but it's okay. It's doable.
Yeah.
So that is basically the only change from your race, is the direction of the course and some little details. And
so I'm looking at Google Earth here, and Inyo Kern is kind of, you know, next to Ridgecrest. Is it all in like the 395 like basin, or are you up in the mountains?
If you're looking at the map, can you see Indian Wells Brewing Company? That's not just one of our sponsors. A canyon north of there is where we start and finish, but we go all the way up to, I think, is it 6,500 feet or something like that?
Yeah, it climbs about 3,000 feet up the Sierra Nevada.
Trees and...
goes through a gold mine.
That was a pretty cool site, the gold mine aid station. That was really fun. I enjoyed that.
Oh, yes. We have the same people again. They love the aid station too. there is I think about 8 miles uphill.
It seemed like 30 miles uphill, just to be honest with you. The downhill was like was a fraction of the uphill.
Well, we changed the 17 miler a little bit now. Instead of going just up the canyon, you get more climb at the beginning in the first 2 miles, and then you have like half a mile of flat before going back up. So at least you rest your legs a little bit.
Or well, you're walking uphill, so your legs are already rested.
I don't know. You're dragging,
So the race is on ultra sign up, is that right?
Excuse me?
Dan, you're not gonna react to the dragging ass? I mean, come on.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
That was so good.
I was dragging ass or the whole time.
I've drug ass on every race I've ever done. And I've never had a burro with me.
But it's your own. It's not a rental. you're dragging someone else's
ass. It's not my own. I'm married. I'm just renting this.
Greg, what do you think about doing this run?
I think you guys are nuts.
Yes.
But,
you know,
sounds like a blast.
Yes.
If you mix it in with a Hasher run, I'm fully on board.
Well, we already have a bunch of retired ultra runners at one of our aid stations. And you can just quit there, call it the day, and hang out with them, and you will have more fun than everybody else running.
Right. There has been known to be a beer mile up there with the races. Not anything official, but the day before or the day afterwards.
You know what? I am the four-time defending Carlsbad Beer Mile champion.
So, well, it's a very, very, very small pond.
Yes, a very extremely small pond. It's more like a puddle. Now, tell me real quick about the type of people that do these races, because that's what what it seemed like to me is that these were a lot of ultra runners or former ultra runners. What is the Packboro community?
I think most of the ones who really shine at the sport, they have a 100-mile running background
and animal,
yeah. But I think it's mostly 100-mile runners. I think if you do a few hundred milers and you start getting a little slower, and you want to do something else. You started with the donkeys. And then there's the others who just say, ultra running is fun and it's good and it's a nice community, but just make it a little more challenging and start it with a donkey. And you get hooked because it's community very welcoming and contagious. I don't know if you noticed that. Oh, you're doing great. And even though you look like trash and you're dragging the ass up the hill, you're doing fine. You're doing awesome. So you feel like a rock star up there, you know, even though you're hurting.
And you all help each other. Like you noticed with Alice is you really have to work as a team with other people.
That's probably one of the main reasons why the ones who get hooked love it so much. It's mm-hmm. just not you and your training. Regardless how well trained you are, if you have a good day, you will run well. But if you have a good day and you're well trained and you trained with your donkey, but the donkey doesn't want to run that day, you will have a lot more challenge. And it's very, very humbling. And it requires a lot of teamwork, either with your donkey or with the donkey with your donkey, you know, your donkey's friend. It's just a different mindset. And I think we have everything. We even have a lot of people who just want to hike. They have done the ultra running or not. And they think, well, I walk with my dog. I might as well walk a donkey. We have a lot of walkers at our event. Of course, it defeats the purpose of calling it a race. But we have the Last Ass Award, too. We call it the Molasses Award. You didn't know that because you didn't win it. Yeah, we have a Molasses Award. And in the Colorado races, they call it the Last Ass Over the Pass.
The Last Ass Standing.
Well, that's a race, isn't that a race in the East Coast?
Oh yeah, it's a new style of backyard ultra things. With that, we could go on for hours on that. Congratulations to Harvey Lewis, who just won Big Dogs Backyard Ultra with 4 days, almost 5 days of running with 340 miles almost, or a little bit more. I forget the exact mileage, but it's insane. So congratulations to Harvey Lewis, who just did that in Tennessee. But all right, I've got one more question to finish up with. Greg, what about you? Do you have any other questions?
All right, well, let's sign up, man. Let's do it.
Well, and you need
instead meet up. Of dragging a donkey, you're gonna have to drag me. I'm your ass.
We can do that. Can do that. Actually, we offer our donkeys for training if you want to come and really try it sometime.
We can do a training run on the course. Usually offer those a couple months before the event.
But we are on donkey time, and if you have time any day to come do the course, we go up with you. We're both retired. All we do is this.
So the best way to reach out to you guys is through the California Breakfast Burritos, or what's the best way for somebody to come and try a donkey?
Yes, we have a website, but honestly, Facebook is probably the easiest and most direct way. We have a Facebook page called California Breakfast Burritos, and a group called California Breakfast Burritos, and a group called Run with the Burros. So either way works. It's just the two of us on Facebook. So you will definitely get John or me on there. Even just meeting the donkeys, just hang out with the animals. That's our mission. We connect the donkeys with humans.
Well, now you've rekindled my fire to run with a burro again. You know, I think it was like, oh, this sounds great. And then I start to have memories like, oh man, that was brutal. And so
you did well. Whatever you do will be fun again. And you know,
as much as I bitched and complained, it was fun.
Yes.
My last question for you guys is, what, and this goes for both of you, John and Karen, what is your favorite, I guess, memory or experience with running with burros? Is there one that stands out?
To me, yes. The last race we had, we didn't realize who got disqualified and who didn't. Actually, it was the first race. And we saw a scramble, and we knew a lot of people got lost their asses and but we didn't know who it was. And one girl approaches after the finish, and I thought she did awesome. And she approached me and says, I have to tell you something. mine was a DQ. And I was like, what? But you won. And she says, no, I lost my ass for 10 feet and I did not go back.
She did the whole marathon, lost her rope for 10 feet.
In the first mile. And she still finished the race, she disqualified
in
herself.
The top runner.
Oh, she came in with the burrow?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I mean, she lost her donkey. She did not go back. So she just grabbed the lead rope and kept with the lead runners. So she came in, was it third? She came in with Lynn and Bob. Yeah. But then she just approached me and said, it wasn't the third place. I got disqualified.
Dang it. So my top five is due to technicality. Ah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, that was probably what impressed me the most, that it's just honor. You know, if they saw you and they say, then you're disqualified. But if they didn't see you and you don't say, you get a placement, you know. And she was, I mean, they all were very honest, but particularly when he came in third, just approaching us that way was very impressive. I don't know if everybody would have done it. You know?
So for sure.
Yeah. And it turns out now she has her own donkey.
Yes, she adopted two donkeys from us. And she's training with her own donkey now called Lulu. Yes, you will see her if you come in April. She better be here.
John, what about you? What's your favorite memory or experience with either hosting the event or running with a burro?
Well, there's a lot of them.
Basically a mishap. I'm looking for a funny mishap. Something that went wrong.
My DNF.
Well, the first time we took our own burros to Colorado, we had friends with us. Robbie, Robbie is named for, was with us. We had a friend come from Illinois, people from
England.
We
had a friend from England coming for the race.
All converged and met in Colorado and went on the Leadville race. Because it was all these new people, we did the shorter distance, which is 15 miles, still very tough. And the guy from Illinois had a lot of trouble with the elevation in the hills, as you'd expect, and running downhill.
He lost Astrid.
He lost Astrid, one of our donkeys. And we had to go catch her about a quarter mile down the hill, haul her all the way back up.
Push her up.
Somehow we got that done. That was probably one of the mishaps I remember most, was having to go back and drag Astrid up a steep rocky road back up to where we lost her.
Well, it wasn't even his runner. It was his friend, our friend's
right,
runner.
Right. But just like Alice and Smokey, they won't go on their own. So we all went back up with him.
And her name was Astrid, this donkey, correct? With A-S-S, Astrid.
Yes, Astrid Guadalupe. That's her full name.
Astrid Guadalupe. Yes, I recognize that name from the race. So when is, real quick again, when is the Run with the Burro race and how can people sign up for it?
We are an ultra sign up. It's Run with the Burros and the date is April 9, 2022. And three distances, 10 miles, 17 and a half and 26. And you need to provide your own butt, your own donkey, and you need to take care of renting it yourself. We don't provide the animal.
Yeah,
but you do have links to where you can
it's all animal,
like through Amber Wan and through other places.
Yes, yeah. There's Burro Buddies. They're also in Colorado right now, and we have a few donkeys. And
there's a couple people in Arizona listed as well.
And all this information is on the Ultra Sign Up page as well. So if you sign up and you want to run with the donkey, all the information there is to how to do it.
We suggest to really read the whole thing because we get a lot of questions like, where do I meet my donkey? Like 2 days before the race. And they're like, you didn't get to take care of your own donkey. We can't provide. I mean, how do you imagine we provide 150 donkeys, you know? So
Oh man, I just Googled like where to rent a donkey, and all the top sites are like the party ones, like rent a donkey for a children's party.
You know what, Greg? You do that and run the race with that, and you let me know how that works out.
Oh man, there's a kid that looks like the spitting image of me when I was 10. I gotta get this donkey.
Well, some of the pack burro runners from Amber, they do
parties and weddings.
Yes, parties and weddings, and they dress up the donkeys and they take them places. You know, they put coolers on the sides of the saddle and
their beverage burros.
Their beverage burros at events.
You know, Greg,
that's the missed opportunity that you guys need to do, like the combined run with the donkey with, you know, a pony keg. Donkey keg.
We should do that.
And you just gotta keep like constantly doing like a keg stand up the mountain.
Yes, well, you know that we take them up for picnics and things, and we should start. You know, I always wondered why on top of Mount Langley there's not a taco truck, so we can take the donkeys up there and have beer.
A burro truck.
Yeah.
A burro truck, yeah, with beer. So yeah.
That sounds like a great idea. Greg, we can go down to TJ, and they have donkeys down there that are painted like zebras, and we could bring those up for a race. John,
I thought you were going somewhere completely different with that TJ donkey story.
No. This is somewhat of a family show here.
Not anymore.
Yes, we could go other directions, but that's a different podcast. John, Karen, thank you very much for coming on and talking about burro racing and promoting the Run with the Burros race. I think you've convinced Greg to do it. And I'm almost there. There's another race I want to do in March. And so I have to see if I have time to do both races, but I'm definitely up for it again. If not, I'll come up there and have my wife run the 10 miles.
You can also volunteer. Yeah. Just remember, hang on to your ass. Don't let go of your ass. That's main rule.
Yeah.
And it's a good lifestyle too.
Leave time for the brewery afterwards too.
Yes. Yeah. Hold on to your ass and your hat.
Yes.
All right, guys. Thank you for joining us, and good luck with the race in 2022.
Oh, we're going to the race in Arizona this weekend.
Oh, you guys are racing this weekend?
Yes. All right. Yes.
Well, you have to let us know how you do. Good luck with that.
We're going to have fun. <Thank you. laughs>
That's all you can ask for, right?
That's the plan.
All right. Great.
Have a great time.
Thank you. You'll be safe.
All right. Thanks. All right. I hope you enjoyed this awesome episode of the Endurance Athlete Podcast. Be sure to subscribe, give us a rating, and join our Facebook group, the Endurance Athlete Podcast. You can also follow me on Instagram @TheEnduranceAthlete. See you next time.